Your body's like this, it's just holding everything in. We're overlooking the accumulation of all the burdens that we run into every single day. It is overwhelming. They've done all of these amazing things, sometimes in just the completely wrong order. When that happens, they're usually in a worse state. You have to first figure out if the person's healthy enough to give you an answer. You don't even have to start the full therapeutic dose that I recommend to you. I don't even want you to for most people that are sensitive.
Javen, it's so great to have you here. Tell me in your own words, what are we getting wrong in terms of this epidemic of sensitivity? What are we overlooking in the field of medicine today?
We're overlooking the accumulation of all the burdens that we run into every single day. There was a study I was looking at a couple of years ago, and it actually was measuring the way that different toxins layer on top of each other and then cause a significantly higher toxicity burden on the body. So yeah, well, you can look at our water supplies, you can look at the readings in our house for mold, and people are like, oh, it's fine. It's not that much, each one individually. Mm-hmm. But when you add up the accumulation of burdens that we run into today in our lives, it is, well, overwhelming, creating the sensitivity.
That's a great point. We run hundreds and hundreds of tox labs a month, as I know you do too. And I think people are hoping for to see that one thing in the red. What's the one thing that's taking me down? And then what do I do about that? But really, it's the cumulative burden. When you look at, for example, lab work from somebody coming in new to your practice, what are you looking for?
So the first thing I run is what I call my physiology testing, which is going to be your standard blood work, an organic acid test, and a hair test. So I'm actually not even looking necessarily for toxins in phase one of testing, because I'm trying to understand is, where is this person really getting beat up at? You know, do they have thyroid function that is normal? Do they have normal liver function? Are they able to even show me the toxins coming out of their body? So I was speaking on stage, and the question after I was presenting on mold was, well, is that testing accurate? I said, well, if you know how to read the nuances about it, yes. So what I'm looking for is not just is your liver elevated, but is it low? Is your sodium and potassium depleted? Because if it is, we're not going to be moving toxins out of our cells. So we're not going to see those things. So when someone new comes into my practice, they could bring a stack of labs with them. I mean, just piles of it. And I'm going, okay, what are they testing for? Oh, they're testing for Lyme disease, but you have no immunoglobulins? We're not going to see anything. So you have to first figure out if the person's healthy enough to give you an answer. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're muscle testing them, if you're doing Chinese medicine, looking at their tongue, or your blood testing, they have to be healthy enough to show you a response for you to be able to test.
That's really well said. We think about the under excretors, that's the major sensitive population, right? And there's a number of reasons to not be in a position to excrete. So where we have poor drainage function, you know, dysregulated detox pathways, yes, there's a genetic component, but we see so often they're running these labs and nothing is coming out. It might not be coming out the hair analysis or the urine toxicology panels that we love to run. So we have to actually pair that with the symptomology and the life history to go, let's do some further testing, because just because these markers are in the green doesn't mean your body isn't carrying a heavy load. This is really about, is your body in a position to let go of it efficiently enough, right?
Absolutely. You know, I will get an organic acid tested in. This is a urine test for acids coming out of the body. And sometimes people are really excited. It's all down on the bottom, like the good end. It's low for the toxins, the infections, the oxalates, all these things that you don't want to have. The whole test. But they feel like crap. So that for me, when that happens, they're usually in a worse state than the individuals that have a bunch of high marks, because at least the body's showing me what's going on. So we know that it's trying to excrete the problems. Mm-hmm. When they're clamped down on their body, when their nervous system is so into fight or flight, and this is what I tell them, I'm like, your body's like this, it's just holding everything in. It's not showing you anything. I've got to fix that first, which is why you react to absolutely everything before we can even move forward.
So true. When we think about the multifactorial, you know, list of stressors on the body, it's never been higher, right? And then you add in things like a malfunctioning home. Like I'm thinking about radon leaks or radon poisoning, gas leaks. It's not just about mold in the home, is it? What are some of the other overlooked factors? Right, totally.
Water. So this is clean water here that we're drinking, because we both know better at this point. But when someone comes into my clinic, I go through their full health history. Mm-hmm. In my questionnaire, we're asking, have you tested for radon in your home, like you said? Mm-hmm. Have you tested for mold in your home? What's your dental history? What's your trauma history? Okay. But then in the very top of my note, I'm like, okay, so is your air clean? I'm going to go ahead and ask you again, even though you've already filled it out. When's the last time you ran a radon test? And do you have a basement? And what's in your water is the next question after air. And we'll go through EWG's website. We're going to go look at what's in there. And there's no municipality in the country that doesn't have toxins in their water.
Absolutely.
It's higher in some places. So one of the places I love to talk about would be like a Scottsdale in LA, Miami, because these are major cities, huge population. I'm like, go look at it. It's got uranium in it. Mm-hmm. Well, uranium, oh, but it's a small amount. Well, it has arsenic and it has PFA and it has every other type of toxin. There's usually 14, 15, 16 toxins. Mm-hmm. Well, they're all below the legal limit. Well, there's a couple factors there. One of the factors that's interesting is, where did the legal limit come from? How was that found?
Who was advocating for the legal limit? Could it be the lobbies for the chemicals, by any chance?
And was it at all based upon the fiscal amount of money it would take, right? So the finances to even be able to remove it? Mm-hmm. So that was part of the play. It wasn't about health. It's like, oh, listen, we have this much money to spend, so this is what we can remove.
Right.
No one's talking about the cumulative effect of when you have something like glyphosate. So it goes into your digestive tract. This is a pesticide. Mm-hmm. It's damaging the bacteria of your digestive tract, which can lead to a leaky gut. Well, what happens when you have a leaky gut and you also have uranium, arsenic, fluoride, chromium, all these other things in that water? Well, now it can get into your body, into your bloodstream. Could it have done that on its own and a small amount without the glyphosate? Maybe not as well.
In a healthy gut, you're in a much better position to excrete.
But these things are accumulating, and we're not doing the studies, and they're definitely not getting the media of the accumulation of problems.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. And then you pair that with the backdrop of being malnourished. You're probably overfed, but malnourished, right?
Oh,
because
sure.
It's data food today.
And then it goes from mine's air, water, food, hygiene, dental, and then implants. And I got one for you that probably hasn't been talked about nearly enough that I run into. And it was something that it was just so interesting. And when I say implants, I don't just mean breast implants. And I don't even just mean a tooth, right? Because that's the two that we talk about a lot in functional medicine. What if you have a titanium kneecap or a titanium plate over your collarbone or a bone in your hand? These can still be toxic. And I didn't even realize this. And I was never taught this. I got the opportunity because a patient taught me. They came into my office, and it was my aunt when I was actually just brand new into practice. Of course, she's got a knee problem just after she had surgery to replace her kneecap. And it's a year later and it's just not healing. It's completely inflamed. Mm. And the surgeon's just like, well, you're a little overweight. You know, it was a surgery. You're a little older. She's like 60. And that was just where it was. Well, doing some alternative medicine testing, I figured out that her body was having an immune response to the titanium in her body. So it sensed that it was a foreign object and it was creating an immune response autoimmune. So what we had to do is we actually had to bring in a homeopathic titanium to allow her body to be able to tolerate this thing that cannot be taken out of her body well.
Right.
Like you can't take a kneecap out and still have normal function. And for those who have had hip replacements and all of these other issues, that is a foreign body inside of you that your body is constantly being aware of all the time, knowing that it's there. And now it's going to have an increased immune response. And the second time I ran into this, and this is one of my favorite stories, is she called herself Senior Barbie.
What does that mean?
She was the most fun patient that you could have. She was 69 years old. She ended up with breast cancer, removed the breast cancer. They went back to repair the tissue. She ended up electing to get breast implants. She was a single woman. She's like, I'm going to be Senior Barbie here. She had this beautiful silver hair. I give all that just to give the context of who I'm talking about for the personality. She broke her bone in her hand right here. And when she broke the bone in her hand, she went to the surgeon and they're like, that's really bad. With your age, we need to put a plate on. So they put a titanium plate on it. She comes into my office a week later and the skin is bubbling off the plate. She's like, what do I do? Like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, oh, I've seen this before. Fortunately, right? Grab the titanium off my shelf that I hadn't used in 5 years. The homeopathic, I said, here we go. Take this. Went away. She went into her surgeon's office and said, I want this thing out of here. And he's like, the skin's fine. And he just kind of blew her off. She left, stopped taking the homeopathic because she'd only been on it for a few days to let it heal. And sure enough, skin boils back up. She goes right back in, barges into the office, doesn't take no for an answer from the front desk. And I respect the guy because she shows it to him and he's just like, can I have his card? You wanted my card. And he said, as soon as it's healed, we'll take the plate out. And she started taking it again, went back down. But titanium and any kind of implant in your body can lead to an increased immune system. And that's another burden we're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. That kind of distortion in the immune response, like it's, of course, she's got the implants already in there. And then she's got this additional stressor. It's just an invitation for overload. Makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I love using tools like homeopathics to smooth out and speed up the body's own healing response and restore balance. But I think that's also a great example of, you know, we don't want to just use these tools, even if they are natural in nature, to mask the body's own, you know, response, mm-hmm. because it's a warning sign. So good for her that she went back in and did that. That's amazing. We're getting smarter and smarter. Like, you and I have worked so hard with all of our wonderful colleagues in our circle to get the word out about mold and parasites and toxin load and some of these overlooked factors that have created this epidemic of sensitivity, like glyphosate, like these herbicides and pesticides. But what I'm frustrated by right now is I feel like we're in the teenage years of root cause medicine, where there's a lot of practitioners that are exposed to these ideas and the application of root cause medicine, very herky-jerky. So we often inherit patients, you know, who have been put on a mold detox and have reacted and gotten scared and given up and put on a parasite cleanse, totally got taken down for the count by it and no reversal of their symptoms, where they have worms pouring out for months. And, you know, we have to go in and clean up what got missed. So when I look at that kind of thing, I look first for the structure of the protocol, right? What were the missing elements? What got missed? Mm-hmm. You know, what are tools that were in the protocol that no longer work in this day and age? And then maybe things like radioactive elements, like you mentioned, you know, that might be stealing the mitochondria's production. And I know that you have great success, you know, with these complex cases as well. What do you look for when somebody's already tried a mold detox, a heavy metal detox, and actually gotten worse, not better?
Yeah, this is the everyday, it seems like, for us at my clinic. It is. You know, I've been to 10 doctors, 20 doctors. I even look at the list of stuff they did. I'm like, man, you've done a lot of really good things. You know, they've gone and they've done a parasite cleanse and a mold cleanse and EBU. They've done all of these amazing things, sometimes in just a completely wrong order or at not nearly high enough of a dose because no one got their body calm enough for them to get to a dose that was a therapeutic level. So when somebody comes in that's been hit with a big detox reaction, it's literally a question in my note. Are you sensitive? If they put the I don't know, I'm like, probably not.
Probably not, yeah.
Yep. If they put moderate, I'm like, are you the type of person that's underplaying this?
Mm-hmm.
In the notes that I generate, like for me, that pop up that I fill in, it literally tells people start with one supplement at a time, never more than one. Just one thing at a time. I don't even want you starting a therapy like a red light and a supplement at the same time, because I want to know what is causing what. It may mean that we're going to be a slower beginning point, but we're not going to get stuck with a bunch of side effects that we don't know what's doing what. Mm-hmm. So we do one thing at a time. The second thing is you don't even have to start the full therapeutic dose that I recommend to you. I don't even want you to for most people that are sensitive. Mm-hmm. I have them start, I mean, I've had one person start with a singular granule from a pill, like one granule. By the way, if you react to one granule, this is not a detox reaction. We know we're going somewhere else here. We're going to be dealing with mass. So we're going to be dealing with the brain. We're going to be dealing with the thought process, the mind, because Absolutely. One granule is not going to trigger a allergic reaction or a septic reaction. That's been my experience. So I do some tests like that to help me to understand what is triggering a reaction, but we slowly will build up. And I tell people, if you ever have more than a 20% increase in your symptoms, that is outside of the norm, because when you're working with complex chronic illness, yes, symptoms are going up and down. They're never going to be completely stable. Mm-hmm. But if it's outside the norm and if it becomes consistently higher, then we know that we're probably doing something either too fast, not with enough support, We haven't modulated the mast cell reactions yet in the appropriate way. So then when that 20% is breached, I said, now we got to pivot. We got to do something different, add a new tool in. Mm. And that allows for me, the client to have control over, like, should I take a breather? Should I take a break? Should I contact you? And just reinforcing that, because many of these people don't want to do that. They do not want to stop. They're so sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're like, I'll push as hard as you want. I'll just go. I'm like, no. Because you're already sensitive. So your nervous system already over-triggered. It's already in the fight position. It's already attacking. We do not need to fuel that more. We need to massage it to allow us to get progress, reducing your burden without triggering it to be worse. As I go through that process with them, if I find them to be highly reactive like that, we're going to start with very natural things. We're going to do brain rewiring. We're going to be doing sometimes neural therapy, which is some injections, some autonomic work. We can also bring in all of the antihistamine supplements. So bromelain, stinging nettle are great. We can even get into anti-inflammatory natural supplements like turmeric, resveratrol. Those can be sometimes helpful. DAO, which is an enzyme that can help to decrease histamine. Sometimes that's not enough. All of the things that I just said all together at the same time, sometimes it's not enough. And that's when we can go into peptides and medications if necessary. Because, you know, as once said by a friend of ours, you might have to be on 8 different things to control your sensitivity just to get started. It's hard for patients to hear that, but sometimes it's necessary because we have to get started.
You know, I think that's a great point. We want to make sure that we're giving our bodies grace when we're going through this process, because I don't know about you, but when I was really sick, we have such a similar story in this way. You know, we really had to fight for these answers. They were not easily available back then. Mm. And so I had this negative meditation going about my body, like, I can't tolerate anything. I got the short end of the stick. My DNA sucks. Like, it was this really intense internal dialogue about this. What changed for me when I started healing faster was when I started deciding, okay, it doesn't matter what it takes, even if I have to start small and slow, and most of my day is still about just withstanding the day, if I can even take one step forward because of all this other stuff I'm doing, then that has to be enough. It has to be enough. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite strategies for working with these really sensitive folks is actually to go to the environment, you know, and relieve this active pressure that's happening in their bodies. You and I both encourage, you know, environmental testing for mold in the home, right? And then we also look at things like, you know, lighting and, of course, the water filtration piece. There's always something you can do to clean up your water within a budget. It doesn't have to be a $10,000 or $20,000 water filter. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, the EMF piece. What I like to do is really focus on their sleeping sanctuary, where, like, restoring this low pressure environment so that at least when they're sleeping, they can be repairing. What are some of your favorite strategies to relieve pressure on the body while they're working up to withstanding a protocol?
I try to attack the things that you have to exchange all the time. Let's talk about your hygiene products. Your cleaning products. And it doesn't, I mean, in a perfect world, could you dump all that you had in the first day? Yes, you could. That'd be a perfect world. But yeah, that's not always the financial option someone has. But you're eventually going to run out of those things. So just start swapping. Mm. Start swapping to natural hygiene and cleaning products in your home. That's a easy thing for people to start doing. Toothpaste, all of that. Let's start controlling the diet a little bit. Let's get away from the carb-addicted, ultra-processed foods. Let's move down toward the more natural, less pesticide-filled foods, right? So the organics. But also, I've really found, especially for the higher sensitivity people, that if we get away from some of the plant poisons and toxins, and people are like, wait a minute, what? Oxalates are in foods, and that could be a trigger. There are foods like nightshade vegetables that can be a trigger for some individuals. And if we start moving away from that, moving sometimes even a little bit more toward carnivore, I'm not saying just me, but toward carnivore, that can decrease the immune triggers inside the body.
We call that animal protein forward.
Yes, animal protein forward. Animal based, yes. I finally got some steak for lunch here today. And I was like, oh, yes, because I've been away from home where I wasn't eating as normal. And I'm like, I can't get my beef. Food, hygiene products, water, right? You said we don't need to buy this really expensive filtration system. You don't. You can simply just go get glass bottled water. Mm-hmm. You can start there. That's a step up.
Small countertop distiller.
Absolutely. Not thousands of dollars. You know, other things that you can do is if you suspect mold and you can't just immediately move or remediate, keep your windows open. That's step one. If you can step up a little bit more air filtration, you can step up again. You can ozone your home when you're not in the home. So there's all sorts of things that you can start doing to lower the burden. It doesn't mean that there's no burden. And I've had people who were very, very sensitive. Yes, they absolutely needed out of a moldy environment. No, they could not get out of that environment. Mm. We did these types of hacks. They were able to get to a point where they felt significant improvement, but the home was still toxic. So they did still eventually need to be getting out. Mm-hmm. So it's like, take the wins where you can, one step at a time, like you said, just like one little increment forward at every moment where you can take it, take those wins, they start stacking. It may not feel like a big win, because one thing I'll tell people is like, look, if I gave you $100 today, and we were going to think of this as our energy, so $100, that's your bank account of energy. Mm-hmm. And it takes $50 just to breathe and digest your food. That's just gone. So now you got 50 left. And if you have a job, a family, a spouse, kids, it's probably $30 at least spent on just that. Mm-hmm. So now we're 80 gone. You got 20 left. They're always asking me like, when can I work out? When can I go on a vacation? When can I start cheating on my food again? And all of those things. I'm like, okay, so.
What can I get away with and how soon can I get away with it? Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, we'll get there. Let's talk about what else is taking money from you. So you've got mold in your house. That's $20. Mm-hmm. We have Lyme on your testing, that's $20. You have parasites that we saw in your stool sample. You've got GI bacteria that's out of range in your stool sample. You have oxalates. Each one of these is $10 to $20. Where are we at?
Yeah.
And they're like, $230. Okay. You will feel better and have ability to go do those other things when you get to $80. Mm-hmm. Oh. And I think, like, I don't do that to make them go, I'm never going to be well, because you can get there and they will get there. Mm-hmm. I do that because sometimes we can remove triggers and they don't feel better. And they're like, well, did I just do that for nothing? No, you're just bankrupt. And we are trying to get rid of the debts. And as we get rid of the debts, it doesn't start giving you back that ability to do more.
Buy a Ferrari.
No.
Yeah.
No, we've got to get to the point where you got a savings account to where you can go spend that if you want to go run a marathon. Mm. And I think that just helps people to understand sometimes you're at such a deficit, it's not going to feel different immediately, but you're still making changes that matter.
I really think of this as a crisis that we're in right now of sensitivity, because you and I both speak at, you know, practitioner conferences and trained practitioners. A lot of them will privately say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to navigate how much more sensitive my patients and clients have become in the last few years. And a big role of that, you know, is histamine overload, of course. So what would you say to those practitioners right now? What would your advice be to them?
I'll say this. They're right. People are way more sensitive.
Absolutely.
So much more sensitive. I look back into my practice and I remember having people, the first two people I ever worked with that would now be considered mast cell or SIRS, like that's what they'd be now. I had no idea what that was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't talked about as much as it is now. And I remember just the almost failure feeling inside that I wasn't able to help these people get better, faster, or sometimes even know what to do next. So to those providers that are listening, that, and for those people that are going to these providers, one, the key is just continuing to learn and continuing to stay in that almost science mindset of, we're going to do things as an experiment. We're going to give you this herb that I think is going to help you. We're going to keep the variables around it minimal so that we can understand if this thing is going to be a good thing. Being the constant student, and not just the student from the perspective of I'm going and researching, which is absolutely what you have to do to figure this stuff out. I mean, I'm researching every day. I feel like we go to conferences together and it's like you, me, and Christine Shafter, maybe two or three other people. And I'm like, do we know anyone else that's really deep diving
in
this?
Please.
Like, does anybody have the secret? And there's not a secret. Learning from the physiology of the people that I'm working with each day. Yeah. And that allows for me, like, they're testing. What worked for this person, can it work for this person? I found a random new herb that worked really well here. Can that help over here? Mm. And it's not that I'm trying to guess all the time. It's that I'm taking data that's working and then I'm going, okay, I'm going to put that in my toolbox. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to see what else we can do. And we're doing that constantly with the stuff that we trust and love, but also with the stuff that we're learning and researching. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how helpful you've been for me, how helpful other docs are, because we get together and I'm like, I got this tough case. What are you doing for this thing? And we all have our own independent discoveries, our own lab markers, our own patterns that we're seeing, because this is complicated. And it's not easy, but it is absolutely overcomable. And we can help people to truly be able to get back to 100% and not live like this anymore.
Beautifully said. What is your advice for people who are on that 4th, 5th, 10th, 20th doctor? And, you know, they know they're a part of this epidemic of sensitivity. What are your top tips for them right now?
Find someone whose ego is not so big to say, I don't know. I say, I don't know too much sometimes, it feels like. But I say, I'm going to go figure it out. I'm going to call someone. I'm going to figure it out for you. Or I'm going to get back with you. So if you got a doctor that when you're sensitive and you walk in their clinic and they're like, oh, this is easy, that would be concerning for me. Mm-hmm. Or I've got this, in a overconfident way, not saying I'm going to work with you. We're going to be a team. We're going to overcome this.
Right.
Somebody that's just like, oh, this is easy. I'm like, they haven't worked with mast cell before. They haven't worked with high sensitivity before. Like, it's not a straight path.
It is not easy. It is worth it. It's doable, but it's not easy.
Because I say to clients every day, like, this is what I do. This is what we see every single day. I want to give you confidence that you can overcome this. Mm-hmm. It's also not easy.
You know what I do say to people is, you don't scare me.
Yes. Yes.
Because they've been told they're too complicated to heal by people who are at the edge of their reasoning, and they're not willing to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they internalize that. It's not okay.
Yeah. It's just finding someone that you're going to be a team member with that wants to research, that's going to fight for you, and is not afraid to go ask a friend.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much for being here with us today. That's where can great. People find you?
You find me at Dr. Jabin, J-A-B as in boy, A-N, more.com or on Instagram or, well, pretty much anywhere else, Dr. Jabin Moore.
Thanks for spending this time with us today. I know these conversations can bring up a lot, and I want you to have room to sit with what you learned and let it land in your own body. If you want more support or you're curious about the next step on your healing path, you can always connect with me. Find me on Instagram at TheDetoxNation and explore resources mentioned in this episode at detoxnation.com. This conversation is shared for education and personal reflection and isn't medical advice. Please always work with your trusted healthcare providers for your care. I'm really glad you're here, and I'll see you in the next episode.